Well, welcome everybody to the ministry seminar, and I'm really glad that you're here. For those of you who are listening to this recording, we are recording this live in New York City, and there's a very, very good-looking group of people that are here in this live audience, and they're from all over the place, and all the good-looking ones are sitting in the front row, and so they're right here in the front row, and there's some really good-looking people in the back row. It's the in-between area that I'm most concerned about. But we're recording this live, and there's a great group of pastors. And normally, at one of these recordings, I would say these guys are all from the Northeast. And so if you are from the Northeast, let me hear it by your applause. From the Northeast. All right. So they're from the Northeast. All the ones who yelled, they're from Staten Island. And they're just glad to be indoors. And so we're glad that they're here. And so it took me about 5 minutes to tick off Staten Island. So that could be a new record. But what's interesting is we have folks from outside the Northeast. So if you're here and you're not from the Northeast, let me hear it by your applause. Who's not from the Northeast? All right, good. Good. So we've actually got all the coast represented. We've got L.A. right here on the front row. As if you couldn't guess, L.A.'s right here. And that's L.A. He's the one guy that got out, and so we're glad that you're here, Philip. And then we've got Florida represented in the back there. Nice to see you guys. And Virginia is represented. And what other states are represented? Oregon. My goodness. Did you guys miss a flight or something? You're like at JFK and just said, well, you know, might as well go. We couldn't get home anyway. So welcome.
Washington?
Okay, cool. So we got the Pacific Northwest. So it's a pretty unusual crowd that we've got here. But we're really glad that you're here. And this has been a sold-out event for a couple of weeks. It's a brand new seminar on the ministry system. It's one that a lot of people have asked for, but it's been one of the most difficult ones for me to put together because it's about how do you create a culture where you have an abundance of volunteers? So by a show of hands, how many of you would like to have more volunteers at your church? Okay, good. That's 100%. And the rest of you are already asleep if you didn't raise your hand. So yeah, we all want more volunteers. And the church is a really interesting organization because it's a volunteer-run organization. I mean, I don't know about you, but I have two recurring nightmares. The first nightmare is I'm getting up to speak and I don't have my notes. That's like a very recurring nightmare. Does anybody else have this nightmare? It's like, where are my notes? And, you know, so if you're like a preacher, that's like somehow or another, that's a recurring nightmare. And I actually had that last night. You know, I woke up like 4 a.m. Oh, it's time for the ministry seminar. And where are my notes? And, you know, and I had to do assimilation and tell about the Ritz-Carlton or something. So I had that last night. But then my other seminar is, what if I'm the only, or my other nightmare is, what if I'm the only one that shows up? You know, what if I get there at church and it's like me and the staff and we're like looking around at each other because, you know, this thing's not going to happen. I mean, you know, at our stage of the game, it's not going to happen unless hundreds of people show up, you know, to make this happen. Or at your place, it's not going to happen unless hundreds or dozens, you know, or multiple people show up. So we're very much dependent on volunteers. And that's really what this seminar is about. It's about volunteers and it's about developing a system for volunteers. Now, there's a lot of volunteer systems out there. Actually, I'll correct that. There are a few volunteer systems out there. One of the interesting things in putting this together is there's not a lot of resources in the area of volunteers, which is so interesting because if you look at the history of church growth literature and teaching, back in the 70s and 80s, there were all this stuff about volunteers, like how to get more volunteers, how to double your volunteers. The problem is all that stuff's on VHS tape. And, you know, if you go to Amazon and you search it, you can find all these old books on volunteers, but it seems like, you know, from about the early 90s until today, there hasn't been a whole lot written on the subject of volunteers, and there's not really a whole lot about systematic volunteers, particularly if you're in a contemporary setting. And so I've put some resources in your bibliography that are really good stuff. Like Heibels wrote this great book called The Volunteer Revolution a few years ago. It's a really good motivating book, but it doesn't necessarily give you a system. My friends Tim Stevens and Tony Morgan, they wrote a great book called Simply Strategic Volunteers, which gives you all of these tips on how to manage volunteers, and it's brilliant. We studied it for about 3 months as a staff. But it doesn't necessarily give you a system that you can operate week after week after week that keeps building volunteers. So I started thinking about that system. So the first thing I was thinking about is how do you build a system where you have an abundance of volunteers, where you're not just getting by, but you have more volunteers than you actually quote-unquote need. And we're going to learn later that need's a bad word, but just for the sake of now. Number one, how do you build a system where you have more volunteers than you actually need? So you need three, but you got six people standing around. Well, that gives you extra. That gives you an abundance of volunteers, which is what you really want. Second thing I started thinking about is how do you build a system that doesn't burn out volunteers? And this is going to be a really big theme for the day. And it's going to surprise you because I really, you know, I'm not that concerned about this in any of the other systems. I just say, suck it up and do it. But when it comes to volunteers, you can't wear out your volunteers. I mean, am I the only one that's concerned about the same volunteers showing up doing the same job week after week after week after week? That's really a bad system. And so you're going to see that burnout's a big theme in what we're going to talk about today, because I don't want to burn out the volunteers. And then the third thing I wanted to try to do in the system is I wanted to build a system that attracted new people. Because a lot of us have people that have been running the system for so long that they actually, maybe not consciously, but subconsciously, repel new people. And so they don't allow new people to get involved. They don't allow new people to stick. And they actually are a little territorial when it comes to their volunteer position. So all that went into this thinking and into the mix. And there's four boxes and there's list and there's all the stuff that you've come to expect if you've listened to any of the other resources I've done. But that's where we're going. So turn over in your notes to page 2. And let's go ahead and just dive in. On page 2, you see a layout of my operational theory of church structure, which is there are 8 systems in a church. How many of you are familiar with this term, the 8 systems of a church? Okay, that's most of you here. And most people by this point have listened to other resources or read other books, and you know this. If not, that's okay. You can actually go to the website, churchleaderinsights.com, click on podcasting, and you can hear an overview of church systems. I also have a free printed report that you can read there and all. But basically, my operational theory when it comes to church organization is there are 8 systems inside of a church. And just like there are systems in a body, there are systems in a church. So the church is a body, and the human body is made up of systems, the respiratory system, the circulatory system, the muscular system, which I have a very highly developed muscular system, as you can tell, with my Hulk-like physique. That's not a joke. Look, I told you when I wanted you to laugh, I'd raise my hand. Okay, so I didn't. So that's not necessarily a joke. Some people have the 6-pack abs. I have the 2-liter. It's all relative as to how this thing works. But, you know, we have all these different systems in our body. And just like the human body has systems, the church has systems. And just like some people have a cardiovascular system that's more highly developed. Phil, for example, is about to run a marathon. I saw on his Facebook account. And I only run if somebody's chasing me. So it works out okay, you know. And so he's got a very highly developed cardiovascular system. And I have a cardiovascular system, but mine's not as developed. Well, we all have a ministry system in our church. But is it possible that some people have a more highly developed ministry system than others? For example, look in your notes. We all have an evangelism system. But aren't there some churches that reach more new people than others? Now, why is that? You know, well, they have a better evangelism system. The worship planning system. We all have services every Sunday. We're all going to hold services this Sunday. Some Sundays it really connects. Some Sundays it doesn't. So what you want to build is a worship planning system where you hit a home run every Sunday. And then we have the assimilation system, my most popular system, small group system. And then today we're going to look at, and you can fill this in your notes, the ministry system. The ministry system, and it's simply, how do we mobilize people for significant ministry at our church? And then the stewardship system, how do we develop extravagant givers, leadership system, and strategic system? And so the question is, are the systems of my church maximized? And I assume that one of the reasons you're here today, and one of the reasons you're listening to this recording, is that you want to maximize that ministry system. Now here's what's unique about the ministry system. The ministry system affects every other system. Do you see how that works? The ministry system affects every other system. It's kind of like the cardiovascular system, or maybe the respiratory system, to use one part of the cardiovascular system. I mean, the respiratory system affects every other system of your body. I mean, if you don't take in oxygen, or you don't convert, you know, oxygen from the air into your body, and you don't remove CO2 or carbon dioxide from your body, then every other system suffers. Well, ministry's like that. You know, where do you get the people to run your small group system? It's through the ministry system. Where do you get the people to run your assimilation system? It's through the ministry system. Or even the stewardship system, even though that's primarily an organizational system, it does require volunteers. Who are going to be your counters, for example? Who's going to receive the offering? And you all know that, right? You receive an offering, you never take an offering. Well, you take an offering at gunpoint, you receive an offering in your church. So you need people to run that. Even the leadership system, because in many ways, as people move up the ministry system, they become future staff people. And so you can tell a lot about your future potential when it comes to staffing your church by looking at who you have on the ministry ladder. And we're going to talk about the ladder in a few moments. So really, every system is affected by the ministry system. So is it maximized? And then I have this quote, "The systems of your church are giving you the result they have been designed to give you. If you want to change the results, change the system in cooperation with the Holy Spirit." So it's not the Spirit's fault. It's not the gospel's fault. It could be the system's fault. And so we're going to talk about the ministry system. So if you turn over, you see the diagram that I have in every one of my systems, which is the diagram from the purpose-driven church, commonly called the concentric circles. And this is from Rick Warren's classic textbook that he wrote almost 20 years ago now. Actually, I think it may be a little over 20 years. When he wrote this book about how do you move people from the community to the crowd, to the congregation, to the committed, and the core. Now, if we were going to define evangelism, I would have you draw a line from community to crowd. So if you drew a little line from community to crowd, that's evangelism. If you drew a little line from crowd to congregation, well, you know, that's assimilation. But if you drew a line from community to crowd and crowd to congregation and congregation to committed and committed to core and then from core back out to community, that's ministry. I mean, it affects every one of those areas, you know, because certain people have the gift of evangelism and you need to mobilize them to go out and do evangelism. Other people have hospitality gifts or assimilation gifts or whatever, so you want to mobilize them to do assimilation. Other people have the gift of facilitation when it comes to leading groups, or the gift of leadership when it comes to leading areas of your church, and so you want to mobilize them to do that. So ministry affects every one of these different areas, and so it really is at the heart and soul of what you're trying to do as a church. And this is why it's taken me so long to do this ministry seminar. I mean, I started recording these 8 systems, I think, 3 years ago. And some of them are small. Assimilation is a very small system. Stewardship is a relatively small system. Although it's a very important system, it's a relatively small system. Ministry is this big system. It's this big system that affects every other area. And so what's going to be interesting in our time that we have today is what does it get covered? Because there are certain things we cannot cover in the system. They're just too unique to the people inside of your church. So I'll try to address those so that you can think about it. But the goal of this of the ministry system is always about people. Without people, there would be no need for systems. And so even though today we're going to talk technical language about systems and about moving people through processes and about doing this and doing that, I want you to understand this is really about people. And it's about helping people become servants. It's about servanthood. And so we could have called this the servant system or the servanthood system. Because I believe the end result of the ministry system is that we are teaching people to be servants. We had a very early on in the journey, some of you know our story, and I did not tell it, I won't tell it fully in this seminar, but you know, we started our church back in 2002, started on Easter Sunday of 2002 with 110 people on the Upper West Side. And the next Sunday is when I learned my very first principle of church growth, and that is that everybody who comes on Easter Sunday did not come back the Sunday after Easter. And so the next Sunday, we had 55 people come back. And then over the next 3 months, through my dynamic leadership and charismatic preaching, I grew the church down to 35. And so here we are in late August, and we have 35 people, and I'm walking home, and I'm having this pity party with God. And all this stuff that I've been teaching over the last few years begins to take shape. All of my thinking about growth barriers and about church systems and about how God wants to organize our church so that we can do what he's called us to do begin to take place. And so we began to turn a corner that fall. And one of the early signs that we turned a corner was we actually reached this lady who grew up Jewish. Now, most of the people in our church did not grow up Jewish, but there are quite a number of Jewish folks in the city. And so this Jewish lady came to faith in Christ. We baptized her. She eventually started dating this guy in our church, and then they actually got married. But I remember right after she became a Christian, she asked me, she said, I'm trying to explain to my family, you know, what Christianity is all about. And, you know, her family wasn't necessarily a practicing Jewish family, because a lot of times if they're very Orthodox and a Jew becomes a Christian, then the family will disown them. And so it's a pretty powerful kind of thing when it happens. But her family wasn't that much of a practicing family. And so she asked me to summarize Christianity in one word. And I thought, man, how do you do that? You know, if you could summarize Christianity in one word, what would you pick? I mean, there's a lot of stuff you could pick. You know, you could do the Sunday school answer, Jesus. Because, you know, if you don't know what the answer is, you just always say Jesus. That's kind of how it works. And so, yeah, I thought about, you know, salvation. I thought about heaven. I mean, you know, you think about propitiation if you want to try to confuse people. You know, expiation if you want to go even further than that. I thought about sacerdotalism, which I still don't know what that means from seminary. So I thought about all this stuff. And I finally decided that it was probably the word servant. And if you had to summarize Christianity in one word, it's about being a servant. Now, if you wanted to use Paul's word in the New Testament, it would probably be the word slave. But slave carries a lot of, you know, baggage in our society. But that's really what Paul said. He said, I am a bondservant. I am a slave to Jesus Christ. You know, he is my master. He owns me. I belong to him. So the end result of the ministry seminar is that we teach people to be servants. And that's what Matthew 23:23 is. It's a very short passage. But starting with the word thee, let's read it out loud together. Are you ready? Here we go. The greatest among you must be a servant. Let's do it again. The greatest among you must be a servant. Twice as loud. The greatest among you must be a servant. Turn to your neighbor and say, you must be a servant.
You must be a servant.
So that's what we're going to talk about. How do we turn people who are either unchurched into servants of Jesus Christ, or people who are converts into servants of Jesus Christ, people who are new disciples into servants of Jesus Christ, or even people who have been believers a while into servants of Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. And so that's where we're going to go. So maybe you have some goals for what you want to get out of this seminar. If so, if you want to jot those down, a little typo there in your notes. My goals for this seminar, if you want to write down what you want to get out of this, I think that'll be helpful, because I think it'll open your heart to maybe what God wants to say to you today. So maybe you came here today because you need to double your volunteers. So that's your goal. I need to double my volunteer base. Or maybe you're concerned about burnout. Or maybe you're like some of the emails I received prior to the seminar. You need to figure out how to fire a volunteer, which we're going to talk about that. I just got a little section on how to fire a volunteer. So maybe just write down what you would like to get out of today's seminar. And somehow or another, by writing that down, it opens up your heart and maybe your mind to what God wants to say to you today.